Here's 78 on 78, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, your host for another excursion into the dark and frightening world of the macabre. I've been presiding over these trips away from the ordinary world for a long time, and every one of them turns up a surprise. As you look around, you'll see that we're in New Hampshire, and this is Wheeler College. That pleasant older man sitting in his comfortable office is head of fine arts, and his name is Homer Knowles. A professor.
Ted?
Hello, Homer. Are you still laughing at me and Diane and Ben?
No, I'm not, Ted. May I come over with that engraving?
Of course. Why, has anything happened to the drawing?
Something very extraordinary has happened. A figure has appeared on it. A figure of a man crouching on the mansion porch.
Mystery drama, The Figure in the Moonlight, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Patricia Elliott and Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Now, if you order a new midsize two-door or four-door Buick Century Custom with an available 3.8-liter V6 engine, chrome-plated wheels, 5545 seats, AM-FM radio, sport mirrors, electric digital clock, and an exterior molding package, we'll add power steering and power brakes at no extra charge. It's the deal of the century. Buick Century models are equipped with GM-built engines supplied by various divisions. See your Buick dealer for details.
A little science, a little magic, a little science, a little...
Here's Irma Bombeck, author of If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits?
Hi. Ever feel like life is a parade and you're standing behind the Boston Celtics? Ever get the feeling research rats are having more fun than you? Are you suspicious that families can be dangerous to your health? Coping with the 70s is all here in my new book, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits? It's about survival, about you and me, and about $7.95 at your bookstore now. It's published by McGraw-Hill Book Company.
It's another key hit, and a baseball hero leads his team to victory. But behind every baseball hero, there's a whole team of unsung heroes. Steady, dependable guys who play ball year in and year out, but never get to be baseball superstars. This is Bob Elson for Northwest Federal Savings, and I'd like to pay tribute to some of Chicago baseball's unsung heroes. I picked 20 from past Cub and Sox teams. And if you can guess who they are, you could win two tickets to a Chicago game. Who was the hustling Sox outfielder nicknamed No Neck, who is best remembered for his aggressive play? Or the versatile, smooth-fielding infielder for the Cubs, who backed up Beckert, Kessinger, and Santo? Look for the contest in the sports pages of your newspaper, or pick up a copy at any Northwest Federal Savings Center.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
Live in two worlds, the real and the fantasy. Sometimes they overlap. When we sleep, our subconscious becomes active. And when we awake, we may discover that it has provided us with a solution to a problem or with an inspiration. Maybe the expression, "let me sleep on it," acknowledges the power of our shadow mind. The subconscious is, of course, a fact. The extent of its power is unknown. For example, is it possible that subconscious thought exists and has force even after death? Let us consider that as we eavesdrop on Professor Homer Knowles late one snowy afternoon.
Come in, Ted, come in.
Huh, am I late?
Oh, no, it's nothing important.
Good. Ben and I became so absorbed in what he calls the importance of continuity.
Ben... Ben Ware, of course.
Yes, one of the best graduate students we've ever had, Homer.
Oh, yes, exceptional.
Oh, what's this mundane subject you wanted to discuss?
A bequest to the college.
Ah, I like that. Who's bestowed what on us?
Mrs. Albert Pope.
Pope? Don't think I know her.
Oh, it's unlikely that you would. She died a few weeks ago and has left whatever art she owned to the college. Don't get your hopes up. She was a poor, simple woman.
A thoughtful gesture all the same, Homer. Unusual. You knew her, of course.
Yes, slightly. The college has paid her a pension for years. Her husband was superintendent of our fine arts building for a long time.
And you arranged it so her husband's pension would go to her. That's like you.
Oh, it's the only decent thing to do.
Of course. Sure it was.
Your irony is transparent.
So is your sentimentality. Now, all of us know it, Homer. And we respect you for it. And the bequest?
Would you pick it up for us, Ted?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Thank you. Look it over and evaluate it. There won't be many pieces. Photographs, prints, a watercolor or two. Nothing of value, probably.
Except to her.
I appreciate this, Ted.
Well, I'm glad to do it.
If her things have no value, perhaps we should give them to the thrift shop at the hospital.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Who knows? She may have owned a masterpiece without knowing it.
Well, I doubt that. But you never know. The Popes lived up here for years. She just might have collected an early local artist. Well, look the stuff over and give me a report.
I'm on my way.
Is that you, Ted?
Hi, darling. Here, give me a hand.
Now, what have you dragged home?
The soul of Mrs. Albert Pope.
Give it to me in English, Professor.
No, I mean it. Here, take this old photo album.
All right.
Yeah, this big portfolio is heavy.
Where did you get all this junk?
Homer had me pick it up from Mrs. Pope, the late Mrs. Pope. She gave all this stuff to the college. I gave it a quick glance.
Find anything? You know my dream.
It won't come true this time, Diane. No, there's no treasure here. But there is one thing that's interesting. Here, let me hang up my coat and I'll show you.
But Ben's expected any minute. It's almost 7.
Oh, it is? Oh, I didn't realize it was so late. Oh, this will only take a second, Di. Now, come on, I want you to see this and take a look.
Hey! Oh, it's really quite lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty good engraving. All the other stuff has no real value. Reproductions, mostly Van Gogh. Two of the sunflowers are Renoir.
She had good taste.
Yeah, and a lot of photographs. Ben might like them. He collects pictures of old New Hampshire houses.
Then he ought to have this engraving.
Hey, that's an idea. Well, what do you think of it?
I like it. That's a fine Victorian house and grounds. Whose house is it? Do you know?
No idea. Yeah, it is a pretty good engraving. Clean lines, flagstone path leading up to a wide front porch, 3 floors. Nicely framed by firs. Look, the house plantings are very well done.
But?
You know as well as I do, Di. It really needs a figure in the foreground to give the picture a focal point. As it is, it's just an engraving of a house.
A beautiful house.
Yeah, but the engraving is only architectural, like a plan. Has no meaning. It's just a house.
Who's the artist?
I don't know. It's unsigned. Yeah. With a figure in the foreground, the engraving would come alive.
Well, Ben will still like it.
Well, there's no reason he shouldn't have it. Or some of the old photographs. He's a bug on the past. What he doesn't want, I'll take over to the hospital thrift shop. They can sell them.
It must be Ben.
I'll wash up and be right back, Di. You play host.
Hi.
Hey, come in.
Wow, you look pretty, Diane.
Ah, flattery earned you a cocktail. And thank you. Where did you get your manners? Most art students are reclusive.
Well, I'm absorbed by art, but I can also see beauty around me.
Oh, you're too much. Ted will be right out. He came home just a few minutes ago. Hey, look.
Oh, what's all that?
The aesthetic side of the late Mrs. Pope. Look it over and take what you want. I have to check on dinner. Oh, here's Ted.
Hello, Ben. What can I fix for you? The usual?
Yeah, please.
Well, why don't you sit down in front of the fire?
Who is Mrs. Pope?
I'll tell you all about her in a minute. Not that I know much more than you do. Here you are. White and as cold as a ski lift.
Half an hour and we eat.
Here you are, darling.
Thank you.
A toast.
Right on.
Here's to us. Who's like us? Damn few.
I'd love it. Where did you pick that up, Ben?
know, when I was in college in Chicago years ago.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that, that you're from the Midwest.
Why did you abandon Chicago with its arts institute and the universities with their, well, excellent fine arts departments and come to this little cottage?
I love New Hampshire. And then there's Professor Knowles and Ted. They know everything.
Hardly, Ben.
Oh, more than I'll ever know.
You really like the climate?
Yeah, I really do. Real winter. Unspoiled forests, clean air, remoteness, the snow. All of it keeps your perspective straight.
Maybe yours. Mine freezes up. Give him the pictures, Ted.
Ah, yes. The Mrs. Albert Pope collection. She left that meager pile to the college, and, well, there's one picture you might admire. No. Stay where you are. It's quite a good engraving of some old mansion.
You collect pictures of old homes, don't you, Ben?
Yeah. I like them. They give me a sense of...
Continuity?
Yeah, and stability.
Yeah, here we are.
Oh, wow, it's beautiful. That's a beautiful house.
Yep, that's a pretty good engraving. All it lacks is a figure in the foreground to give it a focal point.
Well, there is a figure in the foreground.
No, wrong.
Oh, there is, really. Take a look.
Oh, but both Diane and I...
Well, let me see.
There. You see? Next to the path. The figure of a man on his hands and knees crawling towards the house.
But I swear...
I'd swear, too. When you showed me the engraving, Ted, there was no figure.
Well, maybe you just glanced at it.
No. We looked at it under the light. There was nothing in the foreground.
Well, there is now. A man furtively crawling across the lawn toward the porch.
Ted?
Hmm? Yeah, yes, darling?
Are you going to stay up? It's late.
Come on, sit down. Sit down for a minute, Di.
Oh, it's cold in here.
Yeah, I'll toss another log on the fire.
Not for me. I'm ready for the down comforter.
Yeah, so am I, but I just can't get that engraving out of my mind.
We made a mistake, that's all. There's no question there's a figure in the foreground.
But there wasn't.
Well, I didn't think so either, but there is.
Well, I studied the thing. The foreground was empty.
So what?
So it's mystifying. I don't like that.
Can't you admit we made a mistake?
Yeah, I made lots of mistakes, but this wasn't one of them. I saw what I saw. Now, let's take another look at it.
Ben looked at it as if we were a little mental.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. Now, come over. Come over by me, Di.
An eye check, right?
Right. It's gone.
Come on.
The figure of the man crawling toward the house. It's gone. Now, you tell me.
It wasn't there when we first looked at the engraving, and then it was there when you showed it to Ben Ware, and now nothing.
Well, you agree I haven't gone mental.
Well, if you have, so have I. How in the world do you explain it, Ted?
Oh, I can't.
Is there some kind of drawing technique?
No, Di. It's a plain, straightforward engraving. Homer might know.
Well, call him up and let's take the picture over to him.
Oh, it's pretty late.
Only 10:30. You want to sit here and brood over the thing until you freeze to death?
Oh, I feel ridiculous.
I'll call him. He's only half a block away and he stays up late.
I don't know. This simply makes no sense.
Ted, you expect me to believe that the engraving had no figure in the foreground... And that then one appeared, and that now is gone again?
Well, see for yourself, Homer.
Well, that won't do much good. I never saw the figure. Oh, this is just foolish, Ted.
Well, here, take a look at the thing.
Well, it's quite good. Not valuable, but well etched. The prize among the collection of Mrs. Pope.
Yeah, well, the rest is nothing. Prints and a lot of photographs.
The house looks familiar to me.
Well, that's the clue. I mean, if we knew the history of the house, we might be able to explain this phenomenon.
Oh, phenomenon, my foot.
But honestly, Homer, the three of us saw what we saw.
Let me see. I wonder if that could be the home of that young judge. He's long since dead, Now, what happened to him? Oh, yes. Now, I remember. He shot and killed a man for trespassing.
Good heavens.
Why the devil would Mrs. Pope have the engraving?
Now, who was the judge?
Well, I just can't remember. It was years ago. Maybe as many as 25.
Did you say he killed a man? Well, can you remember who? It might have made news.
Oh, not as much as you might think, Ted. It was an occurrence.
Murder is an occurrence?
Up here, a man's property is inviolate, Dan.
Homer, who was killed?
Oh, my goodness. I remember now. It was Albert Pope.
Uh-huh. The Fine Arts Buildings.
Yes, that's right. A man with a bad habit. When he went hunting, he wandered everywhere. He trespassed. The judge... I wish I could remember his name. Well, he warned Albert once, and the next time fined him and jailed him for a week.
And the third time, the judge shot and killed him.
Yes, that's right.
Incredible. And the judge lived happily ever after.
I don't know.
Well, that's some story, Homer.
It's pretty grim, but it has nothing to do with your disappearing figure.
All the same, I'd like to know the whole story.
Huh. You've aroused my curiosity. Let me check into it.
I'd appreciate it, Homer. You may smile at what we've told you, but unless Di and Ben and I are deluded, that engraving has the power to change itself. I mean, it's weird.
The only explanation is supernatural.
As eminent a philosopher as Santayana wrote, there is nothing impossible in the existence of the supernatural. Its existence seems to me decidedly probable. Is that what we have encountered here? It seems impossible for a picture to change its composition. And yet, three educated, rational persons maintain that the etching did change. Where this will lead us, I have no idea. But I will return shortly with Act Two.
Spring is springing up all across the land, and the flowers are blooming. Avon's sunny smile comes shining. It's a time for beauty, and Avon's smile I love to be seen in. And Avon's smile I love to be being beautiful. Avon, you make me smile. Avon, you make me smile.
Now, if you give your Avon representative any old worn-out lipstick, you'll get a new full-size Avon lipstick for just 35 cents. It's a $2.25 value. We're out to put Avon on everybody's lips.
You give me lip with smiles so far and so many shades, so fresh, so young, and you give me spring in style. Oh, Avon, you make me smile.
Limited time offer. Your Avon representative has details.
Ahoy, seafood lovers. Contemplate a large pot filled with steamed whole crabs, prawns, clams, and mussels in hot broth. This taste tempter is especially at Squeaky Speakeasy, 9225 Gulf Road, Des Plaines. Hi, I'm gourmet on the go Edward Robert Brooks, suggesting you visit Squeaky's unique fun restaurant for lunch or dinner. Seated in antique-filled recreations of old-time shops, you'll enjoy delicious fin fish like fresh scrod, fillet of sole and beer batter, or charcoaled fresh salmon. Shellfish choices include steamed Alaskan king crab legs and stuffed whole Maine lobster. Create your own salad from a cartwheeled tableside. That's Squeaky Speakeasy, 9225 Gulf Road, Des Plaines. Phone 298-3510. 298-3510.
Now appearing in the Speakeasy Lounge, Phase 4, a contemporary music group for your dancing and listening pleasure. Hear Phase 4 Tuesday through Saturday, 8:30 until closing at Squeaky Speakeasy, 9225 Gulf Road, Des Plaines.
We've gotten ourselves into a byway in the strange world of the macabre, and it has led us to a small college town in New Hampshire and to an etching of an old mansion that seems to have the power to change its composition. There's no rational explanation for it. Is there an irrational one? The subject puzzles and disturbs Ted Morris, an assistant professor of fine arts. Perhaps the history of the house will reveal a secret, a clue. But even as he thinks it, he smiles in disbelief.
Oh, boy, I just saw for it.
Since when have you begun talking to yourself, Ted?
Oh, yes. Good morning, Ben.
My mother says persons who talk to themselves are crazy.
Well, she's absolutely correct. I have gone over the edge.
I see. That's why you sit there behind your desk grading papers and mumbling to yourself?
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, that's what you were doing. What is it?
Ben, there is no figure of a man crawling across the lawn up to the house.
But we saw it.
No, it wasn't there when I first looked at the engraving. Then you picked it up, and there it was. And last night, I looked again. The figure was gone.
That's crazy.
Oh, we are. I showed it to Homer Knowles. He smiled, but, he's going to indulge me. He's going to track down the history of the mansion.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'd like to know the story. Any idea where the mansion is located?
No. But Homer did recall that it belonged to some judge, a despotic kind of guy.
Oh.
Now, it seems this Albert Pope was an inveterate trespasser. And finally, the judge blasted him. End of Albert. End of our building superintendent. No charge brought against the judge.
Wow. Jungle justice.
Yeah.
That's some story.
Well, there may be more to it. Homer's trying to find out. When he does, you're welcome to it and to the etching. I know you like photographs and paintings of old houses.
Well, there's more to it than that, Ted. I don't know. For some odd reason, I'm sort of drawn to it.
Pleasant surprise.
I haven't dropped in at a bad time, have I, Diane?
Come in, Homer. I'm just starting a fire.
Let me take your coat.
Thank you, my dear.
And the package?
No. I want to show you something. It's a darn engraving.
Had any luck about the history of the house?
I'll come to that. But, take a look at the thing.
I can't believe it.
Well. So I'm not crazy.
When you showed me the picture last night, there was no figure in it. Now, look there.
Yes. A figure crouching on the porch.
Very sinister. A creeping man. He vanished, and now he appears again, this time on the porch. You know, we are seeing something being acted out.
I refuse to believe it. Now, this is nonsense. It's a very old engraving. Changes in the atmosphere may account for these subtle changes. I can't explain it, but that must be it. And our imagination.
No, that won't do. We are not imagining what we can see. Now, I want to know about that house, the judge, and that creeping figure. And what have you learned, Homer?
The mansion belonged to a Judge Asa Lawrence, a young firebrand. Came to the bench in his 40s.
Where?
Earned his degree in Boston, went into practice in Orton, and became a judge in 1950. He had a rather heavy hand, really enforced the law.
And shot and killed Albert Pope.
Oh, no question about that.
Oh, he must have been mad.
No, he wasn't. The amateur deer hunters in Boston, New York, still swarm all over the area during the seasons, and they shoot at anything that moves. Sometimes at each other.
And they can't read.
The no trespassing signs mean nothing to them. They've got their guns, and by George, they're going to shoot something. Yes, they're a menace. Well, Judge Lawrence fined them dizzy.
But he murdered Albert Pope.
Oh, he warned him time and time again. Fined and jailed him. But Albert did what he pleased.
And his wife became a widow. Anything else, Homer? Well, what about the judge's mansion?
It burned to the ground. The judge died from smoke inhalation.
When, recently?
No. It's about 3 years after he killed Pope.
And when did all this take place? Roughly.
I'd say about 1954.
So that's the story. Now, there's more to it than that, Homer. I would like to reconstruct the whole tragedy from Pope's death to the fire in the mansion.
Well, for goodness sake, why?
Because there is something significant we don't know.
I think so, too. Something's been unfolding before our eyes. You know what I think?
Go on, Doc.
I think we've been watching the man who set fire to the judge's house.
Oh, my dear Diane.
No, it's an idea.
You're hallucinating, both of you.
Well, what about the fire, Homer? Can we find out?
Well, I would imagine so. Someone in Orton may remember it.
What about the newspapers?
I don't think the Boston papers... Well, no, that's an idea. They might have carried a line or two about the judge's death. Let me check further. I'll leave the engraving with you.
Ted!
Oh, my. I simply will not believe it.
Yes. The figure on the porch has disappeared.
But look there. Do you see it? One of the front room windows is now open. Ted. Ted, dear, may I suggest we pack our bags and make our getaway from this forsaken spot?
Oh, it's got you, has it?
It's driving me up the wall. That engraving is, well, it's evil.
Oh, forget about it, darling.
How can I? How can you? We have to explain what's happened to it, Ted, or the whole thing will nag at us until we see ghosts in every corner. Do you believe in the supernatural?
No, of course not. I don't think I do. Who can explain everything? It's beyond me.
It means something. Something bad. I don't think you ought to give it to Ben. It might do him some harm.
Oh, nonsense. He's drawn to it.
He said that?
Yeah. Oh, I'll get it there.
Ben's drawn to the engraving. How odd.
Is this the home of the magic picture?
Oh, come in, Ben. go easy on the magic picture talk, huh? Diane is terribly upset.
Oh.
Make yourself at home in the Institute for the Befuddled.
Oh, anything new happened?
Yep, two things. Homer brought the engraving back, and there, as plain as day, was a figure crouching on the porch.
Then the figure disappeared, and there was an open window in the living room of the house.
Hey, this is really crazy, isn't it?
Oh, the engraving is yours, Ben. Homer said to give it to you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'll thank him.
You don't want it, Ben. I think it's evil. It has turned back time to some previous awful event.
Well, that's a little hard for me to follow.
Well, radio sound, all those trillions of airwaves out there, right here in this room. Now, look, I once read or heard that maybe someday science could capture some of those never-ending sounds. They go like ripples when a pebble is tossed into a pond. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Science fiction.
Maybe not. Wouldn't you like to hear, Caesar speaking in the Forum or Cleopatra, Disraeli, and any other great man or woman?
Yes, but airwaves are a fact. I mean, what's that got to do with the changing engraving?
Well, could it be possible that here's the engraving of the house and it's lovely and all that, and then something comes along to defile it and it's somehow recorded?
Well, that assumes that the house is a living thing.
Well, isn't it? A house has its own character.
Now, this is too far-fetched for me, Diane.
Look, do you believe in the supernatural? I've already asked Ted.
Well, yes. I can't define what I mean by it. Insights come to me that I can't explain. Like, well, coming up here for graduate study, something compelled me to. There was some kind of intervention in me that led me here.
Well, that's all I'm saying, Ben. That's it. There must have been some kind of intervention with the house and it's recreating what it was. It has a mystery to reveal or a tragedy to show us. I swear it.
So it's like a soap opera, huh? Tune in tomorrow to find out what happens next.
Yeah, except that they never end, do they?
This will end. We watch the picture. You watch it, Ben, if you really want to take it home, until the engraving has retold its story.
May I see the engraving?
Sure, it's over there on the table.
Oh. That entire bequest for Mrs. Pope may have been worthless, but... Well, this engraving of hers...
Now what?
Well, Di must be right. The engraving's changed again.
What? The figure has emerged from the house and is halfway down the path. He's got a bundle in his arms.
No, look more closely, both of you. That is no bundle.
The man is carrying a small child.
Yes. Yes, who is it?
Ben Ware, Professor.
I noticed your light, and I...
Oh, it's perfectly all right, Ben. I'm pleased to see you. It's pleasant when students drop in. Makes me think I'm still part of the living scene.
Oh, you're more than that, Professor. You're a living legend.
Oh, dear, I hope not. Come, sit down. Ah, you have the engraving.
Yes, Ted said I could have it.
Yes, of course. Perplexing, isn't it?
There's been another change in the engraving. There's a man leaving the house and carrying a small child in his arms.
The devil, you say? Now, what in the world can that mean?
Well, we don't know, but Ted said you were going to check the newspapers.
Yes, so I am. A former student of ours is assistant editor of Boston newspaper. He'll check his morgue in the morning, but oddly enough, he remembered something about Judge Lawrence. The house in the engraving burned down. Do you know that?
Yes, sir. I'm more interested in what happened earlier. At the time that Albert Pope was murdered.
Well, I do know a little about that, Ben. After Albert was shot and killed, his brother Steve arrived with murder in his eyes. Even before the funeral, the brother was threatening to kill Judge Lawrence.
But he didn't, huh?
No. The judge died in the fire, and that was 3 years later.
Did the brother try to get even with the judge?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm interested in, Professor.
Well, why is that, my boy?
Because of the figure in the picture. Was it the judge who was running away with a child of his own?
You think the child was abducted?
Well, from the changes we've seen in the picture, a man sneaked into the house and came out carrying a child.
I see. Not likely to be the judge.
Did Judge Lawrence preside here?
No, in Orton, a few miles away.
Maybe I'll drive over there and ask some questions.
Someone's sure to remember the fire, but I don't think you'll learn much about the murder. Albert Pope lived here.
Yeah, but I might learn something about the judge. You know, how old he was when he died. Was he married? Did he have children? What's become of the survivors? And the story doesn't end with that man sneaking out of the house.
Oh, perhaps not. If I learn anything from Boston, I'll tell Ted.
Yeah, I'll do the same if I learn anything in Orton.
I suggest that you begin in the general store. It's the gossip center. Enjoy your engraving.
I'm going to photograph it tonight.
You are? Well, for heaven's sake, why?
Well, the old mansion burned down, remember?
Are you suggesting?
No, I like the etching. I just want to be sure I have a record of it. Just in case it disappears.
No matter what the outcome may be of the engraving that unexplainably altered itself, first to show a foreground figure, then an open window, and then the figure leaving the old mansion with a child in his arms. We're at a loss to rationalize this phenomenon. History may supply the answer. After Professor Knowles talks with that Boston newspaper editor, we may know more. I'll return with Act 3 shortly.
Maybe you've got a neighbor who just bought a new Electra, and he's gotten so smug and self-satisfied lately, you can't stand it. Well, look at it this way. If you had just gotten a car with all the luxury and prestige of Electra, and a trim European-like design that makes it easier than you might imagine to park and maneuver in city traffic, wouldn't you be a little insufferable for a while? We thought so. The new Electra, at your Buick dealers now.
A little science, a little magic.
What's really so bad about hay fever?
You kidding? I can't breathe. I can't work, rest. I'm all red-eyed, itchy.
Then take Contact.
The cold medicine?
Right.
Contact?
Contact. The 600 tiny time pills in one capsule help block pollen's attack up to 12 hours.
All day?
All day, while you work. All night, while you rest.
I didn't know.
Contact contains the hay fever relief ingredient doctors prescribe most.
Allergies Contact's business, too.
Take when needed, only as directed.
Got a great vacation idea for you. Delta Airlines is serving up Florida on a silver platter.
Really? I'll have a slice of Miami, a bit of Tampa St. Pete, and a helping of Orlando Walt Disney World.
I'm not kidding. On Delta Super Saver fares, you can fly a Delta Night Coach to Florida for up to 50% off the regular round-trip day tourist fare.
Now, you know I can't resist a half-price sale.
You save 50% Monday through Thursday, 40% on weekends.
Oh, put me down for Wednesday, but not until you read me all that fine print.
No big strings at all, just make your reservation and buy your tickets 7 days ahead of time. You can make your stay as short as 2 days or up to 45 days.
Well, with what I save on airfare, I could stay.
You know, Super Saver seats are limited. Better call Delta or your travel agent now.
Just hand me the nearest phone.
Fly a Delta Night Coach to Miami or Fort Lauderdale for as little as $124 round trip. To Tampa St. Pete, $109 round trip. To West Palm Beach, $120 round trip. Delta is ready when you are. This is WBBM Chicago.
You've heard of the poltergeist. That word is German for noise and ghost. Many will attest to visits by these noisy phantoms. They're noisy, all right. Rapping here and moving objects there. They exist. No question about it. Well, if they can manifest themselves as supernatural visitors, why can't we accept what we have already heard?
An old engraving of a house alters itself, and what the beholder sees begins to piece together a tragic story of long ago. So far, we know of a murder, a death in a fire, and we have had a hint of an abduction. It is late the next day at Ted Morris's house.
Ben may stop by, Homer, if he returns early enough from Orton.
You know, he was correct about one part of the story, Ted. Ben suspected that the figure carrying the small child from the house was a kidnapper.
I knew it.
I spoke to a friend of mine in Boston late this morning.
The back issues covered the story.
And briefly, it's an ugly story.
Someone kidnapped the judge's child?
Diane, let's take it step by step. Huh?
Albert Pope was murdered. His brother Steve came up here from Chicago for the funeral. He was outraged at Judge Lawrence. And a week later, the judge's small boy, about 3 years old, was abducted.
The brother did it.
Well, that's what everyone assumed, but there was no proof. Steve Pope was arrested in Chicago, but he was freed for lack of evidence. But there is more to it than that, Ted. Whoever kidnapped the child committed murder.
No.
The governess was stabbed to death.
Good Lord. I wondered how a man could break into the house and walk away with a small boy without being detected.
And the judge's wife?
That's another part of this tragic story. She had died in childbirth. Perhaps that explains in part why Judge Lawrence was such a harsh man. He married late, and by the time he was 40, he'd lost his wife, and then his little boy was abducted.
What a tragic story.
Yes, I'm rather sorry I unearthed it.
And they never found a trace of the child?
None. The search went on for months. The loss, Judge Lawrence's two losses, seemed to break his spirit.
How is it possible for... No, I suppose it is possible. I was about to ask how a child can just vanish.
Well, in a big city, it's not all that difficult. The child is abandoned at an orphanage or at a home.
But they'd report it, Ted.
Well, they should, but just read the papers. There's always a story of an abandoned child.
Well, there's the whole story.
Yeah, and the etching recreated the facts.
Yes, the essential ones.
The story without an ending. Has this Steve Pope ever been back here? Or did you ever speak to Albert's widow about all this?
No, but I have been wondering how Mrs. Pope came to acquire the engraving. My guess is that she simply bought it.
Yeah, but why would Mrs. Pope want a picture of the home of a man who killed her husband?
She may have wanted it as a reminder of her husband's murder.
Yes, as a talisman. Albert was a happy-go-lucky fellow. His wife was somewhat hard.
Yeah, with a grim sense of humor.
Homer, one more question. Can we find a picture of Judge Lawrence? A photograph? Even one of him in his robes?
Oh, I should think so.
Would you ask your Boston friend to mail us one?
I should think that'd be an official picture of the judge in the Orton courthouse.
Of course.
Why'd you want it, Di?
I'd rather not say. You might laugh. Let me say only that, I've got a hunch.
I really must thank Professor Knowles. He's gone to a lot of trouble about the story behind the engraving.
Well, it's been diverting, Ben. Not that anyone will believe it.
Well, some old codgers in Orton confirm it, Ted. The story, I mean.
I meant the engraving that kept on changing its composition.
Oh, no. No, no. There's no explanation for that.
Something activated it.
Yeah, and still is, Diane. The thing's changed again.
Now what?
Last night, I shot a photograph of the etching. I had a hunch that something might happen. It did. I brought it along to show you.
Oh, the etching is scorched.
Yep. That's from the fire that burned down the house.
So, the cycle is completed. And there's an end to it.
And somewhere out there is a small boy, perhaps dead and forgotten, or an alive grown man. Oh, I'd certainly like to talk to Steve Pope.
Well, I wouldn't. I've had enough of the engraving. Now, look, all this took place 25 years ago. Please, let's drop it.
You drop it. You and Ben and Homer, you have no imagination. I'm going to do some research on my own.
Your research, darling, is based on hunch.
And hunch is intuition.
What's your hunch, Diane?
It's so far-fetched that even if it's correct, I don't think I'll tell.
It'll come to you across a crowded room?
Hey, that's it.
What's what?
That line from South Pacific in the song, of course.
What are you talking about, Diane?
How does one fall in love?
I don't remember.
Come on, don't be funny. I'm serious. Isn't there some magical attraction that strikes two persons at the same time? You know in a glance that you're meant for each other. That's corny, but you know that you're intertwined in every way.
Yeah, but what the devil has falling in love got to do with the engraving?
You don't see it, Ben?
Nope.
Well, I do. I know the answer, and I'm going to prove it.
Diane, why won't you tell me?
Because if I'm wrong, I'd look like a fool, and I don't want to cause embarrassment.
Would you give me a hint?
I'd rather not, Ted. You'll just have to wait until tomorrow.
Well, have you some wild theory about Steve Pope?
No, that's not it. If the police couldn't convict him, I sure can't. Oh, he did it all right.
I suppose the police could check all the orphanages and adoption homes in Chicago, but... Well, they probably did that already. And who knows if the little boy was dropped in Chicago?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Well, of course, he wouldn't have been dropped in a small city. A person can be anonymous only in a big one.
I still think Chicago.
More intuition.
Huh? Oh, you make fun of it, Ted. But you've had hunches, haven't you?
Yes, yes. I must admit that I have. But I can't imagine what you have in mind. Well, now, what's this that you have to do tomorrow?
Right? I'm going to the courthouse.
Oh, yes, yes, to try to find a picture of Judge Lawrence. What else?
I may make a long-distance telephone call.
Oh, you've lost me.
There's something I have to find out, but I don't quite know how to go about it. I don't want to come right out and ask a blunt question.
Oh, since when? You won't give me an inkling of what you're up to?
All right, just an inkling.
Shoot.
Think about the engraving.
Mm-hmm, go on.
You brought it home from Mrs. Pope's.
Mm-hmm.
You said it lacked a figure in the foreground to give it a focal point.
That's right, I did.
When did the figure appear?
The second time we looked at it.
Think about what you just said, my dear Ted, and you'll have the clue. Come in. Oh, what a grisly day.
Oh, I love it.
You have to be crazy, but thanks for coming to my rescue. Drop your coat and come in. I have hot coffee.
Great.
Ted had to take the car.
I know. He's giving a lecture in Putney. I'll be glad to drive you to Orton.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Ben. Do sit down. This will warm you up.
Ooh, thank you.
Are the roads passable?
Yeah, sure. And Orton's not far away. Nice little town. I had a good visit there. Did I tell you I saw the judge's former estate?
No. The house is gone, I suppose.
It leveled years ago, and the rubble's been hauled away. The land's been developed.
Who owns it now, do you know?
Some real estate company, Country Homes. They've sold off a number of 3-acre estates. The judge owned about 50 acres. Must have been something back in the 50s. Beautiful property, facing the river.
Judge, landowner, artist. Quite a man. And he was only 40 when he died. When you receive your Master of Fine Arts, what then, Ben? Back to Chicago?
Oh, no. No, New Hampshire is in my blood. I hope to teach here at the college or at one of the nearby prep schools.
And your parents? Wouldn't they like to have you closer by?
Well, they've never understood me.
Oh, no, not another one of those.
Oh, no, 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 of course not. No, they're wonderful. They wanted me to take a good job in something in Chicago. You know, get married, have children, visit every week. You know, the conventional.
And along you come, and you like art with a capital A.
Yeah, right. They shook their heads, but they never stood in my way. They're great. You'll meet them at commencement. They know all about you and Ted.
How do you explain your interest in fine arts? Have you ever tried?
No, I can't. I mean, there's nothing in their background to suggest an interest of that kind.
Oh?
My dad's a shipping clerk in a big book company. Mom's just a housewife.
Any brothers and sisters?
No, they never could have any children of their own.
After you mean?
No. What I said.
Then?
I was adopted.
Oh, wow, what a drive.
How did the lecture go?
Beautifully. Did Ben drive you over to Orton?
Yep.
You found what you wanted?
Yep.
Hey, would you knock off the country dialect and tell all? No. Wait a second. You have been devious, haven't you?
Yep.
Would you please stop that? Now, you insisted that I drive our car because... And don't say yep, or I'll slug you. You wanted to be with Ben. Yep.
Oh, Ted, you're marvelous.
Yes, and you're replaceable. You know that. Now, stop being coy. Did you find a picture of Judge Lawrence?
I found more than that. My intuition was correct.
Well, tell all.
Not so fast. Telephone Homer and insist he come right over this minute. I want both of you to hear what I have to say. And then, and I'm not joking, Ted, we have a vital decision to make.
So that's the tragic Judge Asa Lawrence. Handsome man.
Is that all you see, Homer? Ted?
Should we see something more?
Study the photograph. Make allowance for the old-fashioned hairstyle. Now, doesn't he remind you of someone?
Oh, my. It's the image of Ben Ware.
Why, so it is. What an astonishing coincidence.
Oh, coincidence. Why do you think Ben was, well, as he said, drawn to the engraving? Why does he, a young man from Chicago, love New Hampshire? And, Ted, it was when Ben picked up the engraving that it began to change.
That's astonishing.
And wait until you hear this. Ben was adopted. Judge Asa Lawrence was Ben's father, and Ben was the little boy kidnapped soon after Albert Pope's death, taken to Chicago, abandoned, and adopted by Ben's foster parents, the Wares.
Incredible.
But true. So, now, gentlemen, what do we do?
I don't know.
Homer?
Conceal your discovery, Diane. Ben's a happy young man, and Ware is a good name. If we tell him what we know, his life would be violently disrupted. The publicity would be unnerving. We'd cause trouble for Ben's foster parents. And gain what? Nothing.
But he'd inherit...
Oh, after almost 25 years, Ted, I doubt if there's anything to inherit. That's my advice.
I agree with it, Homer.
Yep, so do I. I hope the judge would understand.
So, once again, we complete an odd tale with an ending you may wish to challenge. It is a hackneyed proverb that states that the violent by violence fall. But hackneyed or not, it's true. Frontier justice draws retribution. That is the tragic moral to be drawn from what we have heard. I'll return shortly.
I'm Betsy Palmer, speaking for CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing Education and Research. Loss of hearing is silent, painless, and invisible. About 20 million Americans, that's 1 in 10, are affected. It's America's largest but least recognized ailment. Loss of hearing attracts fewer than 1% of the dollars spent on medical research, and more is urgently needed. Deafness makes learning of language especially difficult for infants and restricts communication for those who have the problem. Founded in 1969, CHEAR wants to do more. No one is immune to hearing loss. Many people can't hear what I'm saying now. I'm glad that you can. Won't you help CHEAR? For information or contributions, please write CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. That's C-H-E-A-R, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704.
In the strange scheme of things, each of us is an unsolvable mystery. Who are you, really? Even if you can trace your roots back 1,000 years, what preceded them? We are the creatures both of heredity and of environment, and what stirs in our subconscious cannot be exactly explained. Judge Lawrence shot and killed a man. His young son was kidnapped. The judge died in a fire. Why? Can anyone really explain that sequence of events? Our cast included Paul Hecht, Patricia Elliott, Tony Roberts, and Ralph Bell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
This is Mission Control. Hello, traveler.
And that was it, Jack.
Tom, could traveler have burned up on re-entry?
Well, it could, I suppose, if the angle of re-entry was too sharp. But the big question is, these were experienced men, our best. Now, how could they make such a mistake?
And in the Pacific, nothing's been sighted or recovered.
Oh, we've had 10 ships out there. Oh, I should say the Navy's had. Covering as much of the area they were heading for as possible.
And they picked up nothing?
Well, one thing, of course, it's got nothing to do with traveler.
They fished something out of the Pacific.
A teddy bear.
What?
Yep, there it was, floating.
A teddy bear?
Yes, sir. What do you make of that?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Says leftist gunmen fired on French peacekeeping troops in southern Lebanon late Tuesday, killing one soldier and wounding several others. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Among those hurt in the attack was a French colonel who commands his country's UN troops in southern Lebanon. More on the story from Mike Lee in Beirut.
Exact details of the incident were not immediately available, but it appears as though a group of commandos, either Palestinian or Lebanese leftist or both, ambushed the UN headquarters at Tyre just before sunset and later attacked a UN armored personnel carrier nearby. The incident comes on the heels of several attempts in recent days by guerrillas to infiltrate into parts of South Lebanon evacuated by the Israelis and now controlled by the UN. Several commandos had been killed and wounded in those attempts, and this evening's attack on the UN at Tyre is seen by reliable sources as a retaliation. Mike Lee, CBS News, Beirut.
President Carter has rejected requests from Congress that he temporarily withdraw his Middle East war planes package to allow the lawmakers more time to study the plan. The White House said such a move would call into question the seriousness of American commitments. Mr. Carter has proposed controversial sales of jet fighters to Saudi Arabia and Egypt, as well as sales of U.S. planes to Israel. More news in a moment.
Nancy promise, as lovers always have, never to say goodbye. But on their wedding day, something happens. Something that tears them apart in a way not even death could have done. And their promise to love each other forever is tested the way few promises ever are. The Promise. A new Dell paperback bestseller. If you've ever been in love, you'll always keep the promise.
I'm Betsy Palmer, speaking for CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing, Education, and Research. Of all major physical disabilities, deafness arouses the least sympathy or concern in our society. Yet for thousands of our fellow citizens, it means existing as strangers in their own land. Won't you help these people? For information, write CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, A Voice for the Hearing Impaired, at P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. Through CHEAR, help others to hear.
Primary elections were held Tuesday in Indiana and North Carolina as the nation begins to gear up for congressional and gubernatorial races in the fall. In North Carolina, Luther Hodges Jr., the son of a former cabinet member, came out on top in the Democratic primary to oppose conservative Senator Jesse Helms. But Hodges may have to face a runoff because he failed to get a clear majority. In Indiana, all 11 of that state's members of Congress were renominated with little or no opposition. The price of lettuce is well over a dollar a head in many eastern communities due to short supplies blamed on heavy rain in California. Charles Porter of the Agriculture Department says there are only so many places lettuce comes from these days.
We have only limited areas growing lettuce in this country anymore, so that when they get hurt, we just have to go out without lettuce for a while. There's no place else in the world we can draw supplies from. But sometime after the 1st of June, or right about the 1st of June, we'll be seeing increased supplies and prices will be coming down. As a matter of fact, late in the spring months, late in June, by the time we get into June too long, I think we'll see sharply lower prices for a lot of vegetables.
Shipments of California lettuce right now are running half or less of what they normally do. The 18-year-old daughter of a wealthy furniture manufacturer says she managed to end her own four-day ordeal with kidnappers by tearing herself loose from a bedpost in a country cabin and escaping. Jody Elizabeth Gaines returned to her home in McKinsey, Tennessee, Tuesday. The FBI arrested two of three suspects in the case. The $250,000 ransom her parents paid was never picked up. In Albany, New York, Tuesday night, the state Senate failed by just one vote to override Governor Hugh Carey's veto of a bill to restore the death penalty in the Empire State. There appears some possibility the issue could come up again. Police groups and others have been pushing for reinstatement of capital punishment in New York State, spurred in part by a wave of violent crime in New York City. Now this.
There's just one word that describes the Amana Touchmatic 2 radar range microwave oven. Automatic. So precisely automatic, the automatic temperature control system assures you a medium rare setting will give you a medium rare roast every time. And if your family's late, Touchmatic 2 will automatically hold food at serving temperature without overcooking. It really does the impossible. Keeps a roast at serving temperature for late arrivals and keeps it medium rare, too. You can even set the Amana Touchmatic 2 before you go out to automatically have dinner ready when you get home. And the Amana Cookmatic system lets you cook as fast or as slow as you want. Change speeds as you cook. Even program it to change speeds automatically. And when cooking's completed, the timer automatically displays the time of day. Because Amana Touchmatic 2 does so much automatically, it lets you cook everything the way you're used to, simple as 1, 2, 3. See a demonstration of the Amana Touchmatic 2 radar range. It'll be the microwave oven you'll choose automatically.
President Carter told a gathering of Southern Baptist missionaries Tuesday night that he hopes to do more for his church after he leaves office. Mr. Carter spoke to about 150 persons at a Washington hotel. He said at present his church activities and his ability to take a leadership role in recruiting missionaries are restricted by his belief in separation of church and state. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Here's 78 on 78, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Bickley on WBBM, News Radio 78 in Chicago. Tonight's weather is going to be frosty with a clear sky and the frost occurring mainly away from the lake. Tonight's low around 33 degrees in Chicago. Be a little warmer near the lake, a little colder in the suburbs. Sunny and warmer tomorrow with a high of 63, and then on Wednesday night down to around 40. Thursday, we'll get into the upper 60s. At Midway Airport now, it's 45 degrees, 40 at O'Hare Field, and 47 degrees on the lakefront. Wind has died down now, it's calm, the humidity's 32%. In the news, Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin arrived at O'Hare Airport tonight for a 36-hour visit in Chicago. He declined to meet with a group of reporters who met his plane, a private Israeli jet that flew him here from Los Angeles. Begin will attend a breakfast and lunch tomorrow hosted by various Jewish groups. Mayor Michael Volandik is sponsoring a black tie dinner for him tomorrow evening on Navy Pier, which Governor James Thompson will make him an honorary citizen of Illinois. The Prime Minister's final public appearance will be on Northwestern University's Evanston campus, where he will receive an honorary Doctor of Laws degree. Megan's itinerary calls for him to leave O'Hare for New York City at 8:30 Thursday morning. The General Assembly's Judiciary Committee has approved a measure to allow the use of marijuana to treat glaucoma and cancer patients. Alan Crane reports from Springfield.
Under the measure advanced by the House Judiciary Committee on a unanimous vote, an estimated 3,000 to 11,000 sufferers of glaucoma could receive government-approved allotments of marijuana. Republican Joe Ebbeson of DeKalb explained the reason why he wants lawmakers to approve the dispensing of pot to those with serious eye problems.
Woman would be the ophthalmologist. Would be allowed to, in those cases that are not controlled by conventional methods of treatment, namely drops and or surgery, in special cases, could use marijuana, which has been demonstrated will reduce the intraocular pressure in those cases with glaucoma. It also provides that, as we now know, with a very positive, conclusive results clinically, that for those cancer patients who are going to take chemotherapy, it will minimize and in many cases eliminate the side reactions.
Heppesen says that under the legislation, glaucoma sufferers, along with those receiving certain cancer therapy, could receive marijuana only with approval of various state agencies, including departments of public health and law enforcement. Alan Crane, Springfield.
There's more marijuana news. The Illinois Dangerous Drugs Commission released a report indicating almost one-third of more than 200 marijuana samples tested included traces of the herbicide paraquat. None had concentrations considered to be dangerous to human health. The highest amount contained in the sample was 11 parts per million. The U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse has estimated it would take a concentration of about 450 parts per million to cause lung cancer. Even with that amount of paraquat in the marijuana, the user would have to smoke from 3 to 5 contaminated cigarettes a day for months to be in danger.